Hello, welcome to Terry Beckert's GovCon podcast, where we discuss current government contracting trends, compliance matters, and best practices to guide federal contractors forward. My name is Eric Poppy. I'm a senior manager with Terry Beckert's government contracts practice. And with me today is Neil Bagan, a principal in our risk assurance and advisory practice and leading the CMMC effort for Terry Beckert. Neil, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Pop. Good as always to be here.
You know, this is our sixth series. There's six in a series on CMMC. And, you know, it finally happened. There was some type of news with CMMC, and we've been talking about this for months, right?
Yeah, we sure have. I mean, when I look back, it would be interesting to run kind of the all six podcasts back to back at this point, just with how much things have changed, really as recent as last week. So here we are, the kind of the second week in November. And if you think back, almost a year ago was when the interim rule came out that formally talked about CMMC and kind of set forth this five-year rollout and, you know, talking about what this meant to companies as well as kind of the adjacent DFARS requirements for submitting your score into SPRS and things of that nature. But when we think about the last couple of months, what you and I have done, Pop, in talking with clients, whether it be on, podcasts or in person, is kind of this, all right, let's wait and see, because the rule was still interim. And as you know, it went through the internal DOD review, I believe last March or May, and I'm getting my months mixed up like most people do at this point. One was the new administration's cybersecurity overview, and the other one was CMMC specific. But yes, the answer is it did finally happen in terms of sweeping changes made to the program. So yeah, we're going to get into that today.
So if you had to sum up those changes, what would now be considered CMMC 2.0?
Yeah, so a lot of changes, and bear with me for a second. This may be a little bit more long-winded of a podcast than others just because of the ground we need to cover. You mentioned it. I mean, that's what is going to be commonly referred to as CMMC 2.0. And probably the easiest thing when you start thinking about the changes is to start off focusing on the levels. As you recall, CMMC was always built on, a five-level program, one being the lowest, five being the highest. And they eliminated levels two and four, which were really, even prior to 2.0, looked at as somewhat transition steps anyway. There wasn't a lot of thought that you would have contracts with those numbers in them. So they just eliminated those. So now it's a three-level program. The CMMC level five, which is now, let's call it level three, legacy level five, those requirements are still under development. This was probably the easiest thing to read last week just because it made sense. It's no real change there. You've heard for the last year that these updates to what was level five, now level three, are still being worked out. That's still the case. One of the biggest differences is this return to allowance of self-assessments. So this is for level one across the board. And quite frankly, if I were to think about it in terms of FCI, which is really what the federal contract information, what CMMC level one was intended to protect, in my mind, this should be interpreted as the DOD really just doesn't care about the protection of FCI. And they really want to be focused on the new level two, which was synonymous with kind of legacy level three, if you recall, which changes the protection to add in CUI or CUI, which we've talked about on previous podcasts. The other thing that they eliminated was the CMMC unique practices. So if you think about legacy level three, again, now it's going to be considered level two. It used to be that it was 110 controls taken directly from the NIST 800-171 standard, and it added 20 additional controls, CMMC specific, to get you to 130. So you always heard that term, 130. Those have been eliminated. So it is now has just gone back to requiring the controls in NIST SP 800-171. One of the largest changes, especially for our organization in terms of our own work as becoming CMMC certified, but our work with others to help them prepare for certification, is the removal of all the maturity processes. So if you recall, you had these five different levels, level one, two, three, four, and five, but with those added different maturity process along the way. And you think about things like documented policies and procedures, resource plans, things of that nature. And that really came to light in this past year that it was one of the largest undertakings for most organizations, mostly honestly because it was never clearly understood or defined to begin with. So you had all these people out there just documenting out the wazoo, quite frankly, some at our direction, because that's what everybody thought you were going to have to do. And not only was this undertaking for organizations, OSCs, you know, the organizations seeking certification on the GovCon side, but it also ended up being the number one reason for potential of the C3POs, the actual certifying bodies, to fail their CMMC assessment. And that was according to the October 2021 town hall that was put on. So really, this change means no longer do you need, you know, what was becoming hundreds, 300 to 500 pages of documentation to pass CMMC. The other big change, staying with, again, the legacy level three, was that they are now bifurcating requirements based on prioritized acquisitions. And what this means is some, even when you are going after legacy level three, some contracts will only require a self-assessment versus some requiring a independent third-party assessment by a C3PAO. So on one hand, obviously, it means that third-party assessments are not going away in their totality. There's been some rumors and murmurings about that over the last few months. So we're just going to roll right back to kind of the more traditional DFAR 7012 self-assessment model. That's not happening. But if you think about it, it was estimated that there were roughly 30% of defense contractors needing a level three assessment. So depending on how you did the math, you could look at between 30 and 90,000 companies. You know, when you think about which ones may trigger the need for a certified assessment by a C3PO, who knows? That could be based on the actual information to protect. You think about things like CTI, controlled technical information, export controlled nuclear information, things of that notion. Those three categories alone of CUI still make up a lot of the companies. The other change, you know, you had always heard all along that no POAM items. We've talked about it on our podcast. We've talked about it in terms of preparation. And if you have POAM items, you are not ready for a CMMC certification, because that was the case until last week's announcement. There now is going to be allowance for a time-bound and enforceable plan of action and milestone process. So a time-bound and enforceable POAM. And quite frankly, for most people, this is really, really good news. And it means that if you're a defense contractor, you do not have to be perfect in order to pass their assessment. And using one of these time-bound and enforceable POAMs, you know, the thought is that it'll probably follow the model that, quite frankly, the federal government uses for their own networks, and making sure that it makes sense per organization. So that's kind of a summary there, Pop, of the primary changes that you saw be released last week for CMMC 2.0. We could dive into any one of those in a separate podcast, in the series. But for purposes of today, our intent was really to give an overview as quickly as possible as we could on those key changes.
Yeah, that is a lot to definitely unpack there. And like you said, we could dive in deep in the future in this series. But, you know, we've heard all along, Neil, that this was a 5-year rollout. So with CMMC 2.0, how long do you see these changes? How long do you think it will take from a time perspective to work out?
Yeah, great question. And they did actually address that. And for purposes of the podcast, not trying to just talk about numbers and letters with the rulemaking process that is the federal government, I'll kind of skip over the formalities to the end of your question there, which is it really sounds like for the rule to become final with the new CMMC 2.0, that it's estimated that it could take anywhere from 9 to 24 months. And if you think about that, you know, whether or not you're looking at late 2022, or maybe even all the way into late 2023. That's a long time. But the thought is when it does go final, that it would be mandatory for all contractors at once. So what's interesting is you do remember they did always talk about a 5-year rollout where they were gonna kind of exponentially increase the number of RFPs requiring CMMC over the 5 years. And then in 2026, everyone would have to be certified at some level in order to be awarded a contract. The way we interpreted last week's announcement was that, quite frankly, the rollout could be condensed. And therefore, if it's based purely on this rulemaking, that could take, you know, 9 to 24 months. It's possible that by 2022 or 2023, that you could see a faster deployment than the original kind of 5 year timeline.
So what advice would you give companies pursuing CMMC 2.0?
Yeah, another great question. And I think a lot of it depends on where they are in the life cycle, meaning there are certainly folks that haven't done anything for the last several years as a result of changes and potential changes, which now have come to fruition in the program. So if it's something where you have not started, quite frankly, there are some advantages there because now you know a more clear path forward in terms of, am I going after level one or level two? And if it's level two, I know the defined 110 controls coming out of NIST 800-171 that I need to prepare for. And I also know that I no longer need kind of this litany of documentation that step-by-step walks you through all 130 controls. For folks that are in process, we are working with numerous clients at the moment that are in process of preparing, and we're preparing for what we would call CMMC 1.0. They're going to experience some advantages because of the work that's been done to date. So it's really taking a look at what has been done, what is no longer needed, what is still good practice. Just because CMMC is saying you don't need something doesn't mean it's not good to have in your organization. And if there's been time, energy, resources, money, what have you spent, there's you know, a lot of thought that you should continue on with that. May not be needed just to pass an audit. It, quite frankly, is good practice for your organization. So having conversations with your folks internally as to what these changes mean to any external parties that you've been working with, to help you prepare as to what those changes mean, that's really what folks should be doing. And then you have kind of the other end of the spectrum of companies that have been out in front of this for a long period of time. You know, they already have a perfect 110 out of 110 in SPRS. They do not have any POAM items because that's what they were preparing for. They have all their documentation buttoned up. Quite frankly, they too will benefit because they are ready for CMMC 2.0. So being able to take advantage of being one of the first to be able to get certified during what is called now an interim period versus the provisional period that it was previously spoken about, or the Pathfinder program that you heard about now, between now and when the rule is made final, is really going to be considered the interim period. And those folks will benefit as a result of being ready. And quite frankly, can be reaching out to companies now that are certified C3PAOs to get on the calendar to have their assessment done. And those certifications will be acknowledged going forward. So yeah, it really depends on where you are, Pop, in terms of have you started, yes or no? Where are you in the process? How ready are you? And how that relates back to the changes we talked about. There's some folks that probably thought they weren't ready because maybe they had some POAM items coming out of a gap assessment. Well, now you're allowed to have POAMs. And let's talk about making that time bound and so forth. So it'll be interesting. The news was pretty shocking last week in the CMMC community across the board. I think a lot of people's gut reaction was, oh, they just stripped this down and diluted it to where it really doesn't make a lot of sense. And I can see that part of the argument. The other side of people that were more pro to some of the decisions about this is a clearer path forward and it does make it more achievable for a lot of organizations, I too can see that opinion as well. So where we are at Cherry Beckert is, you know, we are all about making a difference for our people and our clients, and this doesn't change, it just changes how we will go about doing it. So we're still looking forward to working with organizations to help them prepare. One of the things that we will end up doing is incorporating in even, preparation on the assessment side when companies only need to do a self-assessment, is still being able to provide third-party attestation engagements in and around CMMC. Certainly wouldn't impair independence. We couldn't do readiness and gap and then turn around and do attestation. But or companies that do feel like they're ready, oftentimes getting validated by an independent third party, in this case, a CPA firm that can do it under widely recognized attestation standards, is oftentimes looked at as a benefit. So another service offering that we'll be pursuing in this space as well.
Oh, great. I think that's a fantastic segue, helping to summarize, you know, how we can help. And then all those changes in CMMC 2.0, you know, it sounds like there's been a ton. And as we mentioned, we could jump into probably a podcast on each one of those different topics. So feel free, anyone listening, to reach out to Neil or myself if you have any questions. And you know, thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. And please tune in next time as, you know, we go down this road together as an industry in this CMMC lifecycle. And now we get to, you know, explore 2.0. So thank you, Neil, for joining us today.
Thanks as always, Bob. Appreciate it.